shall replace in thee. Book of Psalms, Psalm 32. Psalm 32 and verse 1. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is a man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. Now the book of the prophet Jeremiah chapter 15. And verse 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. Now Psalm 126. Psalm 126, verse 3. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. Turn again our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheep with him. Now, two scriptures in the New Testament. The 30th epistle of John. The 30th epistle of John and verse 3. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. Even as thou walkest in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Finally, in the Epistle to the Hebrews, in chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight, and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your mind. Now we trust the Lord will bless what we have heard, that these scriptures that we have read. I would like to speak on joy. Joy is something that's deep. Oftentimes we meet people who have a bright smile, but yet they're not happy. There's no joy within. But the joy of the Lord, according to Nehemiah chapter 8, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is our stronghold. And so whenever we have the joy of God in our souls, while circumstances are against us or not, we're still happy inside. Now we read of the sinner's joy in Psalm 32. Blessed are all the happiness of the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. We read from Jeremiah chapter 15, or chapter 16. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. When you and I got salvation, before we were saved, the Bible was a dry book. But upon conversion, we couldn't get enough of it. We wanted to read it and to meditate upon it and seek to glean something from it. Is it still the same today? After years of being in Christ, do I still have the appetite for the Word of God? Jeremiah says, thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. We read in Psalm 126, the soul winner's joy. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. We read of the teacher's joy in the epistle of John, the third epistle of John. John says, I have no greater joy than that my children walk in truth. There we find in Hebrews chapter 12, the Savior's joy. The cross was not joy to the Savior. We were reminded this morning that in the Garden of Gethsemane, when the Savior prostrate upon the ground, he cried, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Calvary's cross was not his joy, but yet there was joy set before him. When he arose from amongst the dead, when he went back to heaven in triumph, there was joy, no doubt, in the God himself, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, because of the triumph accomplished upon the cross. Then the Savior's joy, the Savior had joy in saving you and saving me. We read, it's God's desire that all men should be saved and come up to the knowledge of the truth. But then out still in the future is the joy that was set before him. Isaiah chapter 53, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. When the Lord Jesus Christ looks over that vast multitude that no man can number, the travail of his soul, all there because of Calvary and the blood that was shed, he shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. What a gathering, what a sight, what a company that will be. The joy set before the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Psalm 32, the sinner's joy, the joy of sins forgiven. Here was David, and he experienced this. And every one of us that are saved, we have experienced the joy of sins forgiven. Oh, the happiness of the man or the woman, the boy or the girl, whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. The publican, after he left the temple, when he confessed to God and cried to God, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He went to his house justified, cleared of all his guilt. What joy thrilled his soul whenever he thought, my sins are gone, my fears are o'er, I'll shun God's presence now no more. We can think of Moses, as he looked upon Israel in the last days of his life, whenever he says, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people, saved by the Lord. O the joy of God's great salvation. May the Lord help us to revel in it and dwell in it more as we travel through this scene. There is so much corruption around us in every hand. So many things that defy it. Yet deep down in our soul, we have that deep, settled peace, the joy of the Lord, the knowledge of sins forgiven, the torments in the fire mine eyes shall never see. What a blessing it is, the sinner's joy. Then we read of the joy, of the saint's joy, in Jeremiah chapter 16. What's his joy? The word of God. Thy words were fun, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and the rejoicing of my heart. Psalm number 1. There the psalmist, he was enjoying the Lord. And he was like a tree planted by the rivers of water because of the joy of the Lord in the word of God that he had found. Now Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. But yet here is the path for the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. The saint's path, the word of God. Jeremiah says, thy word was found, and I did eat them. Oh, he had an appetite. He had a hunger for the word of God. Ah, brethren and sisters, whenever we could see, we wanted to read the Bible and find out, and we did find out things that we never knew before. You know, we sing at times, count your many blessings. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord hath done. But there's another version. Count your many obligations. Name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord wants done. How do we find it out? We find it out in His Word. You remember Psalm 119 and verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How can I find out my path? A path that is in the mind of God and well pleasing to God. I'll find it in the Word of God. We need to read it. We need to saturate our soul with the Word of God. We don't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. Remember when we found the truth in the Word of God, we were saved. Then those who got salvation, then they were baptized. You know, it's a joy in finding out what God wants us to do. And then it's a joy in putting into practice what we find inside the pages of God's book. We find that baptism by immersion, those who got saved, then they were baptized. Was it not a joy to your soul whenever you were baptized? Whenever we went down onto the waters of baptism, didn't know very much. All that perhaps we did know, this is what the Lord wants me to do. And I'm willing to do it, not because of man, but because the Word of God has directed me to the truth of baptism. And we could go on expounding along that line, the Word of God to us. Then we find also in the New Testament that in God's path, there are many things that God would desire that you and I do. As I was sitting there, I was thinking of the unequal yoke. And I thought of a dear brother down in Nova Scotia. And he was a fisherman. In the little village where he lived, they built a new fish plant. And they wanted him to join, to come in with all the rest. Now he knew that if he joined that fisherman's union and group, they wanted to secure his fish. He could sail to any plant along that coast. And so they wanted him to join with them in this plant that was built, that they would have a harness upon his fish. He could only sail to one company. So he said, now, if you sign your name, we'll give you $500. There'll be $500 in your bank account in the morning. No, he said, I'm a believer in Christ. I won't do it. I don't want to be associated with ungodly men. It was a few months later. The manager of that fish plant called him into his office. He said, for your signature on that piece of paper, there'll be $900 in your bank account in the morning. He said, I'm sorry, I can't do it. It's against the word of God. A few months later, that manager called him in again. He says, for your signature on that piece of paper, there'll be $1,500 in your bank account in the morning. You see, the fish plant was making money, and they could give him a better offer. He said, I'll think it over. He went home, thinking as he went. Bedroom upstairs needs some repairs. The stairs need repaired. He says, I could use that $1,500. So he went into the house and he told his wife. He said, you know, the manager of the fish plant called me in there. There's $1,500 in our bank account in the morning if I sign the paper and join the union, join the fisherman's plant union. Very wise woman. She said, well, if it was wrong at 500 and wrong at 900, it's wrong at 1,500. He looked at her. He says, thanks, sister. And he went back to the manager. And that's finished. The manager trying to get him any more. You see, sometimes circumstances, well, we know the truth. And we refuse it at the first. But then when the offers get bigger, then we begin to change our mind and try to get the word of God to suit us. But she said, if it was wrong at the first two, it's wrong at the high one. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word, are you hungry? Spiritual hungry? Don't read books. Read the book, the word of God. There's where our food lies. That's why sometimes we're so lean in our souls. We're not feeding on the word of God. We read in Psalm 126, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Oh, you say, I'm not a preacher. We have been reminded of soul winning. The believer's soul winning opportunity. 2 Kings chapter 5, there was a little maid, and she was a soul winner. She didn't preach on a platform. She told what she didn't even know. But she didn't limit God. She says that the prophet, if Naaman was with the prophet in Samaria, he would recover him of his leprosy. She had never seen a leper cleansed, but yet she had confidence in God. She did not limit God. With the result that Naaman, he got his leprosy cleansed, and he too was a happy man. We can think of Hannah, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, whenever she was barren, in the presence of Eli in bitterness of soul, crying to God for a man child, then when she brought him back, Samuel, she said, for this child, I pray. Many a dear mother can point to a child, a boy or a girl, for this child I pray. What for? Not to make it on in the world? I know that their souls might be saved. Many a time they shed tears. They that sow in tears. What is God saying? They shall reap in joy. What about your tears? Ever shed tears about a sinner on their way down to hell to end up in the everlasting burning? They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. We have been reminded of Andrew. He brought Simon, his own brother Simon, to the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a soul winner. And there in John chapter 1, there was Philip. Philip found Nathanael. And he says, we have found the Messiah. We have found the sent one from God. Well, Nathanael started to ask questions. Philip couldn't answer them. He says, come and see for yourself. And he brought him to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where his questions were answered. That's where many questions are answered whenever a poor sinner is brought to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember reading of two men who met two Christians who met on a ship going to India. One was going out as a missionary. The other man was a very wealthy man. He was going out to hunt tigers. But on the way across, they talked about the things of God. They both went to India. 5 years later, the missionary returned. The other man had been 2 years in India. But they happened to meet back in England again. And so, the man who went there to hunt tigers, he said to the missionary, "Did you see any tigers in India?" The missionary said, "It had been 5 years in India, and I never saw one tiger." 5 years in India, and didn't see one tiger? So the missionary said, "How many did you see?" "Oh, he shot some big ones, and what he told." But then the missionary said to him, "Did you see any souls saved when you were in India?" "Well," he says, "I saw lots of souls, but never saw one saved." "Well," he said, "when I went to India, I had to learn the language. But," he says, "I went in to see souls saved. And," he says, "God saved souls for his glory." So you see, one man was interested in souls. The other was interested in tigers. What are you interested in? What am I interested in? In tigers or in souls? "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." Sure, he had his tiger. There was the big skin, no doubt, in his floor. But what about when he stands at the judgment seat of Christ? "Must I go in empty-handed? Must I meet my Savior's soul? Not one soul with which to greet him? Must I empty-handed go?" You know, soul winning amongst us is becoming a lost art. When I lived in Vancouver, I knew many interested in winning souls. You saw them at gospel meetings with sinners. And they couldn't save them. Many that they brought didn't get saved. But thank God that many that they did bring did get salvation. Have you brought anyone? Have I? To the Savior? "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy." Then we read of the Apostle John. He says, "Of no greater joy than that my children walk in truth." I remember being at home in Ireland in 1961. Went to the little assembly where God in His mercy saved our souls. Mr. Tom Wallace, who was an evangelist, he happened to be there that Sunday morning that we were there. I'll never forget what he said. He had got on in years. He had one leg taken off, and he stood there in his crutches. He said, "You know, I look back to 1935, when I came to this village and preached the gospel. And there was a number of souls got saved. There was over 20 got God's salvation. And as a result of that series of meetings, a testimony was raised to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now," he said, "there was joy in my soul whenever I came here in 1935. Whenever you saw people got saved." But he said, "You know, this morning, I have a greater joy to see and know that you've gone on for God." It's one thing to see people saved. Thank God. We see people saved. But then when they go on, that's a greater joy. Are you giving great joy to the person that won your soul? That was spent, he spent and was to be spent that you might be saved? You see that it's a laborious task, saving souls, going out to see them one to Christ, laboring night and day in prayer. It's not an easy thing. It's easy to start. Oh yes, we can pray for so-and-so for a couple of weeks or a month. Many have gone on for years, laying hold upon God. That's labor. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. And then John says, of no greater joy than that my children walk in the truth. Hebrews 12, the joy of the Savior. He looked forward to that time. Set before him, he endured the cross. Calvary's cross lay in his path. The suffering that took place at Calvary. But he didn't look forward to that. But beyond that, he looked forward to his triumph and victory at Calvary. And God has highly exalted him, given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. That was included in the joy set before him, in that an eternal day when we shall swell redemption's song. As he looks over that vast multitude, he'll say, Calvary was worth it all. May the Lord help us to be faithful to God and to his word for what he has wrought for us in the person of his Son. May the Lord help us for his glory. Shall we pray? Our God and Father, we bow in thy presence in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ with thanksgiving. We thank thee for thy holy word. We have been reminded this afternoon of those who left John and they followed Jesus. We pray that thou wilt exercise our hearts to be true disciples for God, to learn thy ways and to learn of thee and to walk well-pleasing in thy sight. The little while we're left down here. We know of many who left their mark for God. Help us, by thy grace, in the sands of time, to leave a mark worthy of our salvation and of our calling. Bless thy people, bless the assemblies represented, and in the preaching of the gospel tonight, in various places, we pray for the salvation of precious souls for eternity. Oh God, we have a little burden about some we have come to know and they're not saved. They're on their way to hell and we can't save them and we can't stop them. But thou art able. So we cry to thee at this time that thou will visit Vancouver tonight, that precious souls may know the joy of sins forgiven and a title clear to mansions in the sky. Hear our cries, answer our prayers, for we ask them in the worthy and precious name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Glad to see you. And remember, meetings continuing this week. Some have told us they got saved the past week. Looking forward to others this week for the glory of God. Number 446, take my life and let it be. Consecrated Lord to thee, take my moments and my day. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. We'll sing the first two and the last two verses of 446.